Chapter 49. Captain Saruman walked the marketplace of the New World, a dozen of his men accompanying him, as well as another dozen prisoners. When Charlie had shown up wearing his pirate gear, the captain had told him that wouldn't be necessary. As a result, he was walking this strange planet wearing nothing but the clothes he'd originally arrived in, entirely unarmed. After weeks of pirating, the sensation was rather unsettling. Of course, Charlie was still somewhat in a daze after taking a life. He knew it was his or the other man's, but all the same, he had never killed before. Never even thought about it, even during their multiple pirate raids. But the cold, hard reality was he was a killer now, and nothing would change that. He just had to accept it and move on. Marbon was among the men accompanying them through the streets, but on this occasion his demeanor was all business. He didn't say a word to Charlie as they walked, though Charlie could have sworn he saw a note of sadness in his friend's eyes. "Okay, you lot. Stay here until I return with the buyer," the captain said. "That group of five will be sold together," he said, gesturing to a handful of prisoners. "Keep them right there. These others will follow to the next buyer I have lined up." The captain disappeared into the tent, emerging a minute later with a thin woman with violet scales on her skin and no apparent ears, save a small hole on either side of her head. She was wearing layers of close-fitting robes, each a different sheer material that had an opalescent glow to them. The way the woman carried herself as she walked, Charlie couldn't help but wonder if she was some sort of royalty or dignitary. "These are the ones I contacted you about," the captain said. "As you can see, they are all in perfect condition and will serve your needs as specified." The violet woman walked the line of slaves, examining each of them closely. For Charlie, watching the meat market nature of the transaction was surreal. On Earth, slavery had been abolished for centuries, but in this galaxy, he had been a slave recently. Technically, he still was, though he felt far more secure in his life now that he was part of the crew. A real pirate, and not just a laborer. And he didn't even have to wear his pirate gear on this outing. The captain must have been truly pleased with him to offer him the luxury, a reward of sorts. Things seemed to be looking up. It wasn't freedom, but it was a start.
"Yes, I'll take them, Saruman," the woman said. "I'll have my men deliver the cargo to your ship, as agreed."
"Excellent. Shall we then?"
"Of course," she replied, pulling several gleaming collars from the folds of her robes.
She placed them on the slaves' necks, one by one, uttering a quiet phrase, making them seal seamlessly, but making sure to hold the metal away from the other collar, avoiding contact. The captain then grasped his collar and, very quietly, whispered his release phrase. So quietly that Charlie couldn't hear the words. The collar's glow dimmed as it unsealed and fell off into his hands. They repeated the process until the transfer of all the slaves was complete.
"A pleasure doing business with you, as always," the captain said, giving her a gracious bow.
"M'peza Ovusk," she said, activating her new slaves' translators. "You will all follow me."
The slaves did as they were told, disappearing into the tent behind their new owner. The whole transaction left a bad taste in Charlie's mouth, despite his becoming familiar with the uncomfortable truth that slavery was alive and well in this entirely alien place. Two more stops were made, and the remainder of the slaves sold off for supplies. Captain Saruman had taken on an excess of prisoners in the last raid, and with his ranks full, he was merely thinning the numbers to sustainable levels while replenishing necessary items.
"Well, that wasn't so bad," Charlie whispered to Marbon as they walked. His friend said nothing, but gave him an odd look.
A few minutes later, the sounds of weapons clashing rose through the din of the market.
"Sounds like a fight," Charlie said, suddenly wishing he had his weapons and gear on him. He felt almost naked without them, with apparent violence nearby. The men with him didn't react to the noise, almost as if they had been expecting the sounds of combat.
"This is the place," Captain Saruman said, stopping outside a tiny arena built at the edge of the central marketplace. "Wait here."
He stepped inside and was gone for several minutes before returning with a sturdy, heavily muscled man covered in the scars of battles long past.
"Which one?" he asked.
That one, the captain said, pointing to Charlie. He may not look like much, but I know talent. That one's got real potential.
I don't know, the man said. I trust your judgment, Saruman. You know gladiators better than most. But he just looks so, I don't know, weak.
Trust me on this one, Captain Saruman said. Let us go inside and discuss it over a drink. I brought a bottle of the finest Savlaki liquor.
The man's eyes lit up. Trying to ply me with my favorite drink?
Of course, Saruman said. But pleasantries aside, with the right training and a strong hand overseeing him, I am confident this one can be molded into a very profitable gladiator.
Charlie felt the color drain from his face.
What? Wait, what's going on?
Captain Saruman glanced at him.
Son of Usk.
Suddenly, the voices surrounding him were all speaking gibberish once more. Charlie had a fully functional translator for so many weeks, he had forgotten how disjointed it felt being awash in a sea of undecipherable babble.
The captain pulled a bottle from Marbon's pack and walked into the depths of the building. Given the way the two carried on, Charlie couldn't help but think they'd be a while.
Marbon, what the hell's going on? He asked his friend.
The scarred pirate gave him a pitying look and put his hand on his shoulder.
I know you can't understand me, little brother, but I hope you know how sorry I am this is happening to you.
Charlie didn't understand the words, but he did understand the tone. He was being sold into slavery once more, and there was nothing his friend could do about it. In a flash, four of the dozen pirates had abruptly fallen, blood spraying from their corpses before the remainder realized what was happening. A pair of lithe green men, brandishing wicked blades and slops, charged them. The two were easily tearing through the entire band of pirates with almost tangible fury. Blood spewed, the dirt street quickly staining red from the men wounded, dead, or dying on its surface. Marbon shoved Charlie behind him and joined the others in the fight. It was 8 against 2, but the Slavers did not seem concerned at all.
Shit. Captain Tour? And is Sara with him?
Indeed, it was the men who had first captured him, and by the looks of things, they'd be his captors again soon enough. In his close combat experiences with the pirates, Charlie had thought the rough-and-tumble men were top-notch fighters, but he had never seen the Slaver crew in action. The gap in skill would have been almost comical if it weren't so horrifying. His former crewmates were now being slaughtered wholesale, Tour using both his blade and his slop to rend them limb from limb. And the knife, Charlie noted, seemed to be faintly glowing, slicing through everything in its path with ease.
Powered blades? He wondered.
In this galaxy, anything seemed to be possible, so he didn't rule it out as he watched the captain and his sidekick work their way through the pirates like so many matchstick men. Marbon took a glancing blast from Tour's slop and was thrown back on top of Charlie, while the other fighters still on their feet tried desperately to stave off the attack and fetch their captain for backup. It was a logical choice, but the door to the arena was simply too far. Saruman would find nothing but his dead crew by the time he came outside.
Marbon, you have to run, Charlie said as he pushed his dazed friend off of him.
The scarred pilot's vision slipped back into focus as he regained his wits. Instinctively, he grabbed for his sword.
No, don't, Charlie said, clutching his hand. I know you can understand me. Only a fool throws his life away for no reason. This is not an honorable death, and you will die. These are the men you stole me from, and they will kill you without hesitation. You cannot defeat them, not on your own. It's already too late. Please, you have to run.
Marbon was torn. His was a life of combat and honor, but he could see the bloody truth of the situation. Charlie was right. He and his fellow pirates were no match for the Slaver fighters. He locked eyes on Charlie and squeezed his shoulder, then rolled free and scrambled to his feet, darting for a nearby alleyway. Tour shouted a curse after him, but didn't pursue, his bloodlust sated by the carnage all around him. He stalked over to Charlie instead, roughly yanking him to his feet in fury and holding a bloody, glowing blade to his throat. He stared at him, unblinking, for several seconds, studying him, then noticed the dual collars on his neck. The raging Slaver captain's grip loosened and dropped him to the ground. He then reached down, one hand sliding around the second collar.
Yamahara Zantura, he said over and over, his voice wavering with concentration.
The collar heated to the point of sizzling on Charlie's skin, but he knew he had to hold still, unsure what the green man might do in his state if he moved. A loud crack echoed through the street as the collar shattered and fell to the dirt. Captain Tour then uttered the same phrase as he tugged at the knot around the remaining collar. Moments later, the binding slid free. Captain Tour unwrapped the collar, and Charlie felt a familiar sensation wash over his senses. He could understand again, though the translator Tour had given him had always been a pretty mediocre one.
Utaki hair, Sour, he said to his companion, showing him the cloth. They blocked my collar with goddamn Utaki hair.
He turned the filthy cloth over in his hands, studying the scrap before folding it and slipping it into his pocket.
Still intact, and possessing a little power yet, though the piece is of mediocre quality, he said dismissively. Bring him.
Sour roughly pulled Charlie along.
Hear me, Captain Tour said, standing among the bodies of the dozen fallen men. I am Captain Tour, right hand to Emek Yanasok. This is what will befall any who dare steal what is mine. Spread word of what happened here today, and who dealt this death. Do not forget it, lest the same happen to you.
He then spun on his heel and stormed after his lieutenant and recaptured slave.